with Stuart Pink and Mark Searby.
Film reviews and movie news.
Yes, it is. It's film reviews and movie news with me, Stuart Pink. And some say he's still haunted by the ghost of Christmas movies past. It's Mark Searby. yeah, I'm sure he is. We all are.
I do you know what? I kind of am. You know, that's the thing is that I, you know, this is obviously we're a bit early talking about Christmas movies, but at the same time, we've got one to review shortly.
Some people have their decorations up already.
You are right. You are absolutely correct. There are some people who have their decorations up, and
those people should probably be explaining themselves, but it's, you know, to each and their own.
Listen, you said that, not me. I was fine with it. But I have seen some absolutely terrible Christmas movies through the years. I really have. And it's now come to the point where Netflix have jumped on the bandwagon. Don't know if you've seen this, but they do these movies that are, that would not be out of place on the Hallmark channel, shall we say. But Netflix go, oh, yes, it's a new Christmas movie. And you go, but you've got about another 7 on there this week. You know, so Netflix really jumped on the bandwagon of Christmas movies. I mean, they are. They don't promote them too much, to be honest, because they just go, here's a Christmas movie. So whenever you have a Christmas movie that really kind of stands out a bit, I think that does show, especially now that everybody is putting a Christmas movie out. Everybody, you know, every year there is at least, what, 2-3 biggish Christmas movies. And I think people have seen that there's a lot of money in Christmas movies, you know, with repeat performances over the festive period. So now they're like, let's jump on that bandwagon. Let's get some Christmas movies out. So we've got our first Christmas movie to review this week. What are we? Five weeks away?
Is it only for? Oh, five? My God. Oh, I'm worried already. I know. I thought it was further away than that, I must admit. But, oh, my.
Yeah. Well, somebody's going to have to start their Christmas shopping soon. I'll give you the list of things I want.
Yeah, but have you been naughty or nice? This is the question.
I'd rather not answer that. Thank you very much. Do you know, in fact, I think before in doing we that, get you onto have. Christmas movie, do you think? Okay, yeah. Right, fine. Okay, that says it all, doesn't it? I'm not going to answer it. Right, it says it all. Before we start on the Christmas movie, let's talk about something else that is not festive at all.
Okay.
In fact, it's quite bleak.
Yeah, quite the opposite, I think.
It is quite the opposite, yes. This is streaming on Netflix. It's a movie called The Wonder. It's about a young girl in the Irish Midlands who stops eating but remains miraculously alive and well. An English nurse called Libby Wright is sent to observe and report how this child continues to stay alive. Ooh. So it is a period drama, and it does star Florence Pugh, who me and you have discussed on air and off air quite a lot. And I think both of us are of the same opinion that she is a mighty fine actor.
Big fan. Big fan.
Yeah. Big fan. And let's be honest, when's she going to win an Oscar? When is she winning this Oscar?
Oh,
because
I've
seen
on.
Loads of Make movies with her in. And I'm just thinking, when, or at least when should she be nominated? You know, I'm thinking she should have been nominated at least 10 times and won maybe 3 by now. But nothing
should be on the way.
So I'm hoping she gets nominated for this performance, because it is absolutely brilliant. I mean, genuinely brilliant. She plays the English nurse, Lib Wright, who is sent to look after the young child. It's a really steely performance, and one that I kind of think comes with like a figurative wall built around the character, because she doesn't allow anybody to see her true state of mind at any point. Now, we see it when she is locked away in her private residence, but nobody else sees it. You know, this is someone who has been sent to do a job, and she's going to do it to most of her abilities. The problem is that the young child's family keep getting in the way or not caring at all. So Lib Wright has to not only navigate around the family, but also win the trust of the young girl to truly find out what is happening to her. And Florence Pugh does it with such aplomb. I literally couldn't take my eyes away from the screen because of her tour de force performance. I mean, she's just magnetic in this. And it's such an atmospheric film as well. You know, there's the wind sweeping across the lands, the grim cinematography gives this very troubling vibe as well. I mean, at times, it reminded me of The Wicker Man in its styling. Truth be told, the film does veer towards the horror genre a couple of times. I mean, there are moments we witness that really should be in a horror film. I mean, not that they're gruesome, more that they are foreboding and quite terrifying to watch.
I was a bit scared watching the trailer.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. And I know you don't like horror movies, and I don't class this as a horror movie, but at the same time, there is this atmosphere to it. And it's a movie with minimal dialogue as well. It relies on silences all the way through it. However, the dialogue that does happen, especially between the young girl and Lib Wright, is quite haunting at times. You know, there are things that are discussed that make you wonder what it all means and how it might end as well. So this is a really taut thriller drama that hits on obsession and possession, but not in the usual ways. I've got to say that it's more complex. It's quiet, but nonetheless earth-shattering come the conclusion. It's got it's kind of like this strange, swirly, mystifying piece of work. It's also pretty ambitious as well with how it starts and ends. I'm not going to give spoilers as to what happens, but I'll say this. I was mesmerized by the entire film, even the start and the end. I was completely in wonder of it. Pardon the pun. I know you're...
Well done.
I know. Sorry. Florence Pugh is simply outstanding here, just to keep banging on that door. It's a brilliant film and an even better lead performance. And I genuinely hope that she gets a few nominations based on this performance, because it is thoroughly, thoroughly deserved.
Fantastic. This seems like the kind of film that's a bit more Oscar-y. They like that kind of art house, almost a bit, not your mainstream sort of film. So
yeah, it's a good point. I mean, this is a period drama from the 1800s, and you know, certainly that is an area where the Academy does enjoy a lot of success with the movies that they vote for. So it could be, you know, this is one of those movies that we're talking about now. We're talking about in November, and obviously the Academy Awards and most of the awards are not until February, March, April, something like that. But we are in awards-worthy movie season. That's the thing. You know, I think it probably started last month. We're going to have a few this month. We're going to have a couple in December. Then January and February, they really kick in. So we are in that flux of here's some awards-worthy movies, while at the same time, here's some blockbuster movies, here's some Christmas movies, etc., etc. So The Wonder, I hope Florence Pugh gets nominated, because it's a brilliant performance, and it does feel like one of those performances that really is going for an Oscar or a BAFTA or any of the other type of awards.
Or a CB award. Could it get a CB award, couldn't it?
Yeah, well, it could do. It could do. But yeah, let's wait until we've seen all of the other awards movies before we go. But you know, if we're giving those away, then obviously Florence Pugh would already have about 7 of them anyway. So
she needs a bigger shelf for them. That sounds to be the case, yeah.
She would. She really would, yes.
So The Wonder, I wonder where it's on. Where can you see it?
So The Wonder is streaming exclusively on Netflix.
Oh, okay. Only on Netflix. Lovely. And do you enjoy eating whilst watching it, or did you kind of join in with the fast?
No. I had to eat through it, I'll be honest. Yeah, the fast didn't get to me, I've got to be honest. Thankfully, it was just the young girl in it who was
okay.
Well, it's not that she's fasting. That's the thing. It's the fact that she hasn't eaten in 4 months.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a mystery there to be unravelled.
Exactly. This is what I'm saying. It's a mysterious piece of work. It really is.
It's one way to tackle the rising cost of living, though, isn't it? It's a genius plan. It'd save a lot of
money. Well, it is. It is, but I don't think I'd want to go through it.
No. 1 hour 48 minutes is a long film to sit through without eating anything. So I feel you. Okay, right. Speaking of Oscar-worthy films, what you got for us next?
we're going to use the C word here. We're going to use the C word.
Okay. Oh, here we go.
Christmas.
It's almost here. Oh, this. Here
it's almost
here.
So,
here we go.
So, a Christmas movie. So, Spirited is the movie. It's about Clint Briggs, who is not a nice man. So, when he's selected to be redeemed by the spirit realm at Christmas, three ghosts are sent to meet him. For Christmas present ghost, he becomes a little too acquainted with Clint and then is suddenly thrust into the real world to help the redemption happen.
Oh, okay. Sounds familiar, this storyline.
It sounds really familiar.
Ringing a few bells.
Shall we? Exactly. It is basically another retelling of Charles Dickens' classic A Christmas Carol. However, this one is all jazzed up with singing and dancing and jokes and sarcasm and misery.
Of course
it is. So really, really, not much has changed then, has it?
It's basically the same as the Muppets version, isn't it? Yeah.
Okay, look, I'm joking a bit here. I mean, this musical feature film, it kind of goes, hey, remember La La Land and you remember Scrooged, you know, with Bill Murray, let's mash those together and do a few other bits, and to be fair, it kind of pulls it off. Actually, I mean, it does help that both Ryan Reynolds, who plays Clint Briggs, and Will Ferrell, who plays the Ghost of Christmas Present, are excellent together in this. There's a proper yin yang performance because they try to lure the other one over to their way of thinking by being either really horrible or really nice. Several big show-stopping song and dance numbers as well. I know it sounds bonkers, and it sort of is, yet that's why it works so well. Yeah, do you know what? I tell you what this did to me, mate. So this did the same to me as the Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again movie, which was the sequel.
Oh,
which
yeah.
Basically,
loving that you're comparing these two films.
You start watching it. Well, you'll understand why. So you start watching, you know, you start watching Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again, or the first one, and you go, this is utter rubbish. This is utter rubbish. I'm not going to last more than 10 minutes. And you get to 10 minutes and you kind of go, oh, well, okay, I'm here. I might as well. And then after about 30 minutes, you just fall under its spell and you go, right, you've won me over.
I'm going to watch
it. And by the end, Pierce Brosnan starts, and you go, right, I'm in. I enjoyed that. That was really good, even though it was utter rubbish. That's the same with this movie. That it, you know, it's not great, but you succumb to the over-the-top happy vibes and you ultimately just roll with it. That's what Spirited kind of does to you. You know, you guess where it's going.
Yeah,
I mean, it is based on a story that's obviously a few hundred years old anyway, so you kind of know where it's going.
Kind of got the idea of what happens here.
Exactly. So really, it's left to the show business side of things to sort of change it a bit. And I did laugh many times. I've got to be honest, Will Ferrell's ghost isn't a million miles away from his performance as Buddy the Elf. And Ryan Reynolds' performance isn't mean and moody, but more sarcastic and funny.
It's unlike him.
You know, this is a conversation for a different time, but Ryan Reynolds is very good at playing Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
You know, he really is a one trick pony in that regard, even though he's not, because you know what you're going to get, but at the same time, I wish he would make more films like Buried. Buried is not a Ryan Reynolds film, but he is amazing in it. Unfortunately, now he's sort of turned into, if you want Ryan Reynolds, you get Ryan Reynolds. That's it. You know, there's no deviating from this character. That's it. But he's okay here. That's the thing. There are a few subplots thrown into the mix to add extra runtime. They're not meaningful or really interesting, but as I said, just roll with it and then you'll be back onto the central storyline in no time. And, you know, I've got to be honest here, is that the over-the-top song and dance numbers are very, 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 very well put together. The first one, the opening number, is particularly impressive. There are several more throughout as well, but I like the first one a lot. And I hesitate to say this is a full-blown musical because it's not. Probably the best way to describe this movie is like it's a bromance with musical numbers.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. That sounds...
Right. Yeah.
Hilarious.
It sounds weird and it kind of is. As I said, it's bonkers, but just go with it. So, you know, I was thinking about this after watching this movie and it's been a few years since we've had a really good standout Christmas film, you know, one of the big ones starring big actors. It's been a few years.
Yes, it is.
And I think with, yeah, I mean, some people might say Last Christmas. Okay, well, maybe, sure, you know, but I'm talking about, you know, big ones. I think with Spirited, we might have found it. It's funny, it's kitschy, it's camp, it's all the things you would want from a festive time of year. I was going to say this time of year, but we're still in November. from the festive time of year, you know, it's just a really enjoyable movie that wins you over. And what more can you want from a festive film?
Oh, amazing. So Ryan Reynolds and Will Ferrell doing the whole musical number vibe. I don't think I've ever seen any of them in musicals before. Have they done that before?
No.
No,
not
pulled
that
it off, though.
I'm aware of. Yeah. Well, just about. Yeah. That's the thing. Will Ferrell's better at it than Ryan Reynolds. But there are a couple of times where they're at it together and it's kind of fun. It is kind of fun. I will say this as well, just as a sort of footnote. Don't be surprised if this ends up as a stage production because
watching
the film, you know, even watching the trailer, but watching the film, you get the feeling that's what they're aiming for in the future, is that this very much feels like a stage production. And you know what? I'd be okay with that. I wouldn't mind it, really. You know, it's like, obviously, they've got Elf, the musical, on stage, and I'm like, no, it doesn't lend itself to that, whereas this does. This lends itself to being a big festive musical, you know, around this time of year, every year. So don't be surprised if in a few years we suddenly see this in the West End or on Broadway or touring the country or something.
Brilliant. I'll get you some tickets.
Well, it depends who's in the lead role. That's the thing. You know, this
big
movie
shoes
would
to
be
fill.
Very different. It is, but this movie would be very different if it wasn't Ryan Reynolds and Will Ferrell. You know, I couldn't imagine it really with other people in it.
No. Yeah, it's just a kind of, I'd see in the trailers, you feel like, You've definitely cast Buddy the Elf and Deadpool in exactly the same film. And without them,
well,
what would
it be? Saying that. There is a Christmas party in this film that takes place at Ryan Reynolds' character's apartment, shall we say. And everybody goes dressed as... it's a fancy dress party. What I will say is, keep an eye out all the way through that because there are a lot of nods to other Christmas movies.
Ah, excellent. I like it. So we finally found a Christmas Carol Charles Dickens remake that doesn't make you think of Kermit the Frog.
I don't, but do you know what? Here's the thing is that there are a lot of good interpretations of A Christmas Carol. You know, Muppet's Christmas Carol is obviously one of the best, but the best is Scrooged. Let's be honest here.
Okay.
I really do. But no, that's fine. You know, that would be second for me. But then you've got other versions. You know, you've got original versions in there as well. Alistair Sim's version of it is probably the best straight adaptation you can get of Charles Dickens' movie. But then there's loads of others as well. That's the thing. But this, if you're making a list, probably top 10 of ones that I've seen. Just because it's over the top, it's fun, it's camp, it's kitschy, it's glamorous, it's glitzy, it's all of these, you know, that you kind of want in an over the top bromance with musical numbers.
Brilliant. So Spirited, where is it on? Is it cinema?
So this is streaming streaming exclusively on Apple TV Plus.
So we can't see it in the cinema.
No, which is a shame because I've got to be honest, is that, you know, it did kind of deserve the big screen treatment. That was a slight disappointment, but, well, let's face it, putting a Christmas movie out in November on the big screen is
That would be bold, wouldn't
it? It's a bit of a risk. Yeah. It's a bit of a risk, let's be honest. So putting it onto Apple TV, putting it out now, it's got time to grow in terms of finding its fans. And, you know, listen, I'm a fan, okay? I'm a fan of it.
Okay, I'll just have to borrow your login. That's fine. Excellent. That was our 600th film. Just throwing that in there for statistical 600 reasons.
We've reviewed together.
I know. Now we need a bromance musical number to explain the history.
It's true. We do, actually. We really do. Yeah, it's very true.
Yeah, if there's any musical writers out there, then make it happen. Well, you'd do a starring role each. And yeah. Excellent. What you got for us next, Mark?
Streaming exclusively on Disney Plus is Disenchanted. Now, this is 10 years after her happily ever after, Giselle questions her happiness, inadvertently turning the lives of those in the real world and Andalasia upside down in the process.
Oh, now,
for anybody who
doesn't
know what I'm talking about at all, they're like, I don't know what this means. This is the sequel to Disney's Enchanted, which was 2007 it came out, starring Amy Adams, Patrick Dempsey, Susan Sarandon was in there as well.
Oh, yes. Big movie.
So this is the sequel. This is a sequel. And the thing is, as well, is, you know, we've reviewed them quite a lot over the past couple of years. Disney seem to be churning out these sequels many years later to much-loved original movies.
They're being patient with it, aren't they?
Here's all of these. Here's all of these. Keep watching all of these. Now, the actual fact is, even though I said in the synopsis it's 10 years after what happened, it's actually been 15 years since the original movie came out.
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah. Go on.
And yeah. It is safe to say time has moved on. I watched the original film at the start of this week just to reacquaint myself again. And I will say this, while it's funny still, it is showing its age and it feels a little bit clunky in places.
Oh, really?
This sequel, this one kind of has the same problem in that it's trying to be a sequel, but it's also trying to be modern with its storytelling and its style. It's certainly got a lot more animation and CGI in it. And I actually really like the 2D animation in this film. It kind of makes a nice bookend to the whole thing in that it starts in 2D, it ends in 2D, which is what happened in the first movie as well. I like that about this. But the CGI, while it's bold and big and whatever else, is not that impressive. Instead, the film kind of relies on storytelling. So the central idea is that Giselle no longer feels at home in the real world and wants to return back to fairy tale land, a.k.a. Andalasia. It's such an interesting idea of a story. You know, this fish out of water flipped and is now a homesick person. And there is, at first, a bit of a dive into Giselle's struggles and her not feeling like she belongs anymore. But that seems to almost stop when everything is in Andalasia. And instead we get this almost big musical film with some elements of Wicked Witches thrown in. And this is kind of where the film overwhelms itself with a bit too much. It's throwing stories in there and characters in there. They're coming left, right and center. And it's too much. It's far too much. It doesn't know when enough is enough, basically. And as such, I think the film sort of becomes a bit of a lost sheep because you're never really sure who's doing what or where or when. It's all a little bit muddled as well. So come the big finale, it does feel all over the place in terms of where the characters are at that precise point. So it's difficult to say it's messy. It's just there's too much. There's too much of everything. That's the thing.
Much like Andalasia itself, by the sound of it.
kind of. Well, do you know what? I have no problem with the cast in this, actually. Amy Adams is entertaining, as always.
Yep.
James Marsden hams it up spectacularly well, as he did in the first film. Idina Menzel and Patrick Dempsey seem to have swapped screen time. She gets a lot this time, and he gets hardly any, whereas in the original, he got all of it and she got hardly any.
Yeah.
But now she's this
global
box office.
Yeah.
Exactly. And they've gone, it's funny as well, because in the she has a song and literally, I am not making this up, literally one of the lyrics is Let It Go. And I'm like, I'm sorry,
no,
but
you can't do that.
You can't. You can't. You need to write at something that doesn't have that's. But the problem is, obviously, now she's got this. You know, she's a huge star. They've gone, right, we need to put her in the film a bit more, really, because, you know, this is the woman who sings the songs in Frozen.
Can't have her Frozen out.
Maybe we. Good pun. But yes, you're absolutely right. It's a weird flip because Patrick Dempsey, who was, you know, the love affair, the love interest in the first movie, and is the love affair in the love interest in the second movie. I don't know what they've done with him. Basically, they've made him into this weirdly secondary character who's sort of a caricature of himself. It's an odd swap, really odd swap. The big standout here, though, for me, really, is Gabriella Balanchine. Sorry. Pronounce that wrong. Baldacchino.
Baldacchino.
She plays the teenager Morgan, who people might remember in the first movie. She wasn't a teenager, she was a baby. I thought she was really good in this. She's not done too much. I looked her up on IMDb, just a few bits here and there, but I thought she was really good in this. Got a good singing voice, certainly knows a good dance number as well. And I thought she'd got like a decent amount of moody teenager without it being far too much.
Cool.
As well.
There's a good little line in the trailer, which I thought seemed like a good line.
Yeah. She's got some good lines, to be fair, though. That's the thing. So, you know, good performance there. I liked her. Hopefully we get to see her do more stuff because I thought she was good. Got to say a quick word for Maya Rudolph as well, who is clearly having an absolute blast playing the evil Malvina. I think Maya Rudolph just took this role so she can turn around and go, I'm just going to be evil all the time. And I'm going to have such good fun with it. Because that's what she does.
That's the dream job in a film like this, isn't it? Being a bad one.
It really is. You're right. It really is. The dream job is to play the evil villain, really. You know, the wicked witch or whatever it is. And she's really good in this as well. I enjoyed that. So look, is this as good as the first film? No. Is it a sequel that we wanted? No. However, it's an okay sequel. It's all right. You know, it's not as bad as some of the sequels we've recently reviewed that Disney have churned out. It's fine. It's fine. It's okay. You know, sat there and finished it and went, yeah, okay, fine.
So bear in mind the original was out, was it 17 years ago? Or 15 years ago?
15.
Who do you reckon this is kind of aimed at? It's kind of difficult because it's obviously not still a bit of a kid's film, but if you were watching the original 15 years ago, you're probably our age.
Yeah, that's it. I like how you said our age. That's great.
Yes.
That's a really good question. That is a really good question because when the original film came out, that was clearly aimed at, you know, young females. No two ways about it. Well, you know.
Yeah, probably. Fair.
Yeah, now.
Although I went to New York around about the same time it was filmed and I just kept going, oh my God, that was Enchanted. Oh, that was in Enchanted.
Did you?
Everyone's like, have you seen that in film? Yeah, of course I've seen that film.
Well, there we go, you see. You see, there you go. Who's it aimed at? It's a good question. I think it is a legacy sequel. So anybody who enjoyed the first one will probably watch it. Much like Hocus Pocus. If you enjoyed the first one, chances are you're going to take a chance on the second one. If you're coming to this fresh, as in you've never seen the original, then maybe it's not going to work at all. And you know, I do think this is very much aimed at people who enjoyed the first movie rather than aiming itself at the demographic that the first movie aimed at, which was young kids, really. This is not aimed at young kids, I don't think. I mean, I'm not saying that young kids can't enjoy it. They can. And I think it's going, hey, you like the first one? You'll like this one. And that's it. Rather than going, hey, young kids, why don't you try this movie first? And you go, no. So I think it's very much a legacy sequel for all of those who grew up with the first one. I say all of us. I mean, I didn't grow up with it, but, you know, I'm not going to say how old I was in 2007. but, you know, it's something like what you were saying is that, you know, you remember going to New York and going, hey, Enchanted and whatever else. So I think that's the thing. It's playing on the nostalgia trip more than anything else.
Yeah, nice. So Disenchanted, Disney Plus. Is it in cinemas as well?
Disney Plus. No, Disney Plus only.
Disney Plus or Disney Plus Plus? or just Plus?
No, just Disney Plus. Just Disney Plus. They've stopped the Plus Plus where you have to pay extra for stuff. They've stopped that. So
my campaigning worked then.
Subscription. Yes, it clearly did. It took 2 years, but it clearly did.
Got there in the end. Marvellous. Excellent. What you got for us next week, Mark?
Next week, so we are going to be talking about Roald Dahl's Matilda the Musical.
Oh, wow. I'll bring my chocolate cake.
That's the full title, okay? Now, we will go into depth about why that's the full title next week, but the full title is Roald Dahl's Matilda the Musical, okay?
Okay.
We will also be talking about the new film starring Idris Elba, which he plays a genie in it.
Oh.
It's called 3,000 Years of Longing.
Okay, yeah.
So, and then as a special podcast extra, we will be talking about a documentary called Clay Dream, which is all about the man who created the California Raisins. You remember the adverts, the California Raisin adverts with the claymations where they were singing soul songs?
Oh.
You're too young.
No, not really.
You're too young.
They sound like something that would have happened. Okay.
Yeah, no, it was a global sensation. It really was, but I think you're too young. Okay, have you seen Michael Jackson's Speed Demon video? Where some of the characters turn into clay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, right. So this is the guy who did that. And he also did the California Raisins, and he also did loads of other things. So this is a documentary all about this man who was a pioneer of creating stop motion claymation adverts, movies, etc. However, there is a really dark and nasty tale, sting to the tail, in this story.
Oh, excellent. I shall bring us some Play-Doh so we can join in.
we won't be anywhere near as good as that man. Nowhere near at all, but it is, it's a fascinating documentary.
Well, maybe if we ask, bring a three wishes, and one of them is that we're as good as that,
yes,
then it'll work out, because he just will grant us those wishes, and then we can make our own Play-Doh film, and we can make it a bromance musical, and then we're all done.
I was about to say I would just like to wish to meet Idris, but then I've met Idris, so
you
don't need to wish for that.
What, have you?
Yeah. Well, listen, we'll talk about it off air, but yes, I met him about 15 years ago, something like that. Yeah, just as
amazing.
He was on the cusp of superstardom. Yeah, well, listen, play a record. I'll tell you all about it and how I got to shake Stringer Bell's hand.
Oh, I'm so jealous. This needs a long song. See you next week.
Cheers.
Film reviews and movie news with Stuart Pink and Mark Searby.
Thanks for listening to Film Reviews and Movie News. We've been doing this little podcast for years now. Mark has watched and expertly reviewed hundreds of films, and I've made hundreds of terrible jokes. They're all available to listen to again if you subscribe to the Film Reviews and Movie News podcast. It's freely available wherever you get your podcasts from, or you can find all the latest episodes and everything else I do online at stuartpink.com.